In the name of the one living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
You have been told what God wants of you. Only this: to do what is right, to love loyalty, and to walk humbly with your God. Micah 6:8. And from Matthew, we have these words: blessed are you when people abuse you and speak all kinds of ill against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven. This is how they persecuted the prophets before you. I got to be honest with you. These past few weeks have been extremely hard for me. I've been ruminating over the readings for this day in relation to what's been continuous to cause us angst in our nation today. That's why the title of my sermon is Waiting. Waiting for the other shoe to drop. Waiting for positive social change. We have a new national leader who appears to be doing all in his power to bring ridicule to our people. We have well-meaning folks who, through peaceful demonstration, are marching in solidarity against many of his ideas and proclamations. Unfortunately, we also have some who are using this time of insecurity to wreak havoc and to destroy. Thank God we have a sanctuary here at St. Peter's where we can come for solace, solidarity with our fellow travelers in life, and receive the sacraments of life and renewal. We come to hear the words of Micah the prophet as to what the Lord requires of us. First, to do justice. That is, to live together in a manner that God intended us to live. Secondly, to love kindness. As God has always acted toward his people, so too he requires us to act toward one another. And finally, walk humbly with our God. It's a daily walk in relationship with God. It's what lies at the very heart of our religion. The humble walk with God goes hand in hand with the practice of justice and the love of kindness. Into a society where systems of injustice and suppression created anxiety and insincerity, much as we have today, Jesus came with an announcement: turn your lives around, for the kingdom of heaven is close at hand. To a small band of fishermen, he offered an invitation: follow me, and I will have you fishing for people. He was looking for a community of organizers, gatherers and organizers of people into a messianic community, a community marked by a vision for life based on justice and mercy. What came out of that was the church. It may not be exactly what Jesus had in mind. Nonetheless, we need to ask ourselves, do we have the capacity for repentance, the capacity to recapture the discipline envisioned by Jesus so that we might realize ultimate happiness and security? I can remember as a child visiting a grist mill for grinding wheat into flour. This particular mill was situated near a creek, which fed a hand-dug channel called a raceway to turn the great water wheel, which in turn moved the huge granite stones to grind the wheat. That raceway was like people. It seemed at times that it did not like what it was supposed to like, which of course was water. It would gather all kinds of stuff, like branches, sticks, and stones, And when this happened, the raceway could no longer fulfill its intended purpose. The raceway had to be kept empty of any accumulation of sediment or anything else that would slow the flow of water. The raceway had to remain poor if it was to accomplish what it was there for. It needed to be kept clean so that it could run full of water. Folks, we are like that raceway. We need to clear out a few things. We're not to be storehouses of God's blessings, but channels of God's blessings and love. Leo Tolstoy wrote a story about a shoemaker who waited and longed for a visit from the Christ child. We often hear it about at Christmas time, but really, it's an Epiphany story. The shoemaker, who in his humble circumstances does what he can to prepare for the visit, represents all of us who are waiting for God's appearance. Like the shoemaker, we may be surprised at the people and the circumstances through which God chooses to appear. As he waits, the shoemaker shares hot coffee with a weary traveler. Later on, he supplies fresh bread for a poor beggar. And finally, he gives away the beautiful shoes that he had made for the Christ child to a baby whose homeless mother sought shelter and warmth in his doorway. Disappointed and sad at the end of his long day of waiting, the shoemaker went to bed. Only when he was given up seeing God in a visit from the Christ child does he realize that God has come to him. God was in the stranger, in the hungry, and in the homeless. This is exactly what Jesus is trying to do in the Beatitudes, which are the preamble to the Sermon on the Mount. The most striking dimension of Jesus' blessings is the fact that the kingdom of God is seen in the misery of those who suffer and in the action of those who do good deeds without reward. Jesus' blessings are given to groups of people. In the Beatitudes, first of all, he blesses the doers, that is, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers. And then he blesses the sufferers, the poor, the hungry, the sorrowing, the persecuted, the homeless. Those in whom God's kingdom is apparent are not those who are right or fortunate, but in the poor and in the persecuted. Jesus sees their misery and knows through his own suffering that he belongs to them. God calls people in particular circumstances to seek righteousness single-mindedly and to show God to others. We are called to be meek, as Jesus was meek in revealing himself to be the Savior King. We are called to be peacemakers, as we have done here at St. Peter's with our peace vigils, and as we continue to do by working with the Community of Peace Initiative here in Phoenixville. We are further called to hunger for justice, to mourn the endurance of evil, and to love mercy. Not only because we want to live ethically, but also because they are the marks of life lived in community with God. The last beatitude calls blessed those who are abused and spoken ill of on account of the following Jesus and his love for others. Jesus asks us to rejoice and be glad, for our reward will be great in heaven. It's not likely that death awaits us because we are loyal to Christ, But insult awaits those who insist on Christian honor. Mockery awaits those who practice Christian love and Christian forgiveness. Christ still needs his witnesses. He needs those who are prepared, not so much to die for him, as to live for him. At the beginning of our service, we opened with a collect asking God to grant us peace in our time. Now, I'd like to close this sermon with a prayer that St. John Paul II penned in January of 1991. Great and merciful Lord, Lord of peace and of life, your designs are for peace, not affliction. You sent your Son Jesus to proclaim peace to those near and far, and to reunite people of all races and descent in a single family. Hear the unanimous cry of your children, the sorrowful plea of all humanity for peace. Speak to the hearts of those in charge of the destiny of others. Stop the desire for retaliation and revenge. Suggest with your spirit new solutions, generous and honorable gestures, a time for patient waiting. Grant to our times, O Lord, days of peace. And all of God's children said, Amen.